This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is hour number two of the program. We'll get you connected with Dan Israel just as soon as he jumps on here, as we'll start hour number two there. The Chiefs they're getting right back into it. So we'll talk a little Chiefs. Glad to be here with you. That IHOP hotline is open for you. Introducing the new Indiana Jones and the Great Circle themed limited time offer menu. Those fully loaded French toast options, we're told. The Great Circle of Cinnamon is what it sounds like. It's layered with rich cinnamon spread, drizzled with sweet cream, cheese, icing. So go to IHOP. That hotline number is 869-1240. So you can get in touch with the program that way. Tommy will be back in a minute as well. So yesterday we hear from the Chiefs. I don't know if they'll tell you this. And I don't even know if it's like a front of thought, you know, thing. But I got to imagine with the expectation this year being history and the third Super Bowl, and I get that an undefeated season would be historic, but this team has never felt like a team to me that was going to go undefeated this year. Razor-thin margins, all the wacky ways they've been able to win games. I haven't ever even thought about that piece as being a part of the history, but it just kept happening. And it's almost felt like a crutch. Let's bring in Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider. Dan, I don't know about how you feel. I'm not glad the Chiefs won it, lost a game to the Bills. I'm glad, though, that the undefeated season part of the conversation can go away. Because yeah. I don't know how much and listen, this isn't a Chiefs indictment. I don't think the Chiefs have treated it as a crutch, but I think as we've tried to evaluate the season, it's been this crutch, right? There are clear deficiencies and needs for this team, but you just keep saying, well, but they're still, you know, but they're 9-0, you know, they're undefeated. Now I think we can put all that to the side because the Bills are right on their heels. The Steelers are for real. The Ravens are for real. Maybe the Texans are back for real. And oh, by the way, the Chargers, you're not out of the woods yet with the Chargers, even in the AFC West. Oh. Now I think we can more laser focus in on the issues that face this team.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a monkey on your back, whether you acknowledge it or not, you know. And I think for the player's standpoint, there's certainly, you know, there's certainly a desire to set history in any way you can. But Would you rather go like the Patriots did, undefeated, and lose the Super Bowl? I mean, because there's no guarantee you're going to do what the 72 Dolphins did. And so I feel like the true goal here is to three-peat and set history that way. And you know, the undefeated thing would have been nice, but I'm firmly convinced the team would have sat the starters the last 3 weeks anyway. If they were going undefeated, if they were 14-0, I think they would have sat the starters and given them rest. So who knows whether we truly would have gone undefeated, because it's never been a goal for the Chiefs. It's never been something that they're focused on. They want the three-peat.
Look, I think in normal circumstances, you brought up the Patriots. Like, you could absolutely, that team was flipping dominant, right? Like, they were crushing people. Brady's numbers were insane. Like, all of those things. And if you didn't have the three-peat on the table, I think it's, you absolutely pay attention and do everything you can for the unbeaten season. That's like the next one. If a three-peat's the top one, the full unbeaten season would probably be the next one, right? Of the things right. that you'd try to achieve as a team. But the Chiefs have never felt, Dan, like a team that was going to go undefeated. Like, they could just as easily be at or below 500 as they were 9-0. They know how to win games. It's the greatest strength of this team. I'm not dismissing that, but this wasn't that kind of team.
No, and they'll have to make a run in the playoffs similar to last year, where they were a different team. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. They flipped a switch and they became a different team, the team that we kind of expected them to be all year long. They'll have to do that same thing again this year, because look, they're going to play good teams. I mean, you mentioned the Chargers now, even the Broncos, you know, these guys, there's a lot of work left to be done here with us, you know, having to play Pittsburgh and Houston still. And now the Bills have to play a couple of tough teams too. I think they play the 49ers and the Lions, but you know, I just think it's one of those things where the dominance of the three-peat, which has never been done before, has to give way to the dominant of an undefeated season, which has happened before. I don't know. I feel like, you know, the Chiefs were very in the locker room after the game. They were very subdued, and coach just said, "Hey, we're going to face these guys again. You know, it's likely we're going to face them again. How you handle it is everything." And I think that's right. You know,
so then let's talk about how we handle it. Offensive line, still a problem. Wanya Morris did not look very good. They healthy scratch. I will say this, a healthy scratch at Kingsley Suamataia tells me A, they're concerned about it. And of course they are, but B, they're willing to do something about it. I mean, they're trying something. We said last week, or at least I did, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, that you just, like, Suamataia is unusable right now. And so I think the Chiefs roster decision told us the same thing. Wanya Morris still wasn't very good. Juwan Taylor hasn't really ever been great. I don't know what they can do, but what are the other options internally? What else did they do? And, you know, what else can they do with what they have on the roster?
You know, not only did they make him a healthy scratch, but they brought up a player from the practice squad over him. You know, they promoted a guy that's got a sting. And I think if that doesn't motivate you as a player, nothing will. Whether or not he's got the physical skills, you know, motivation is only half the problem, right? You got to have the physical skills too. But I have a hard time believing that they got this, the evaluation of, him wrong. You know, it would shock me if they were this far off from an accurate evaluation. Now, again, I was shocked by the healthy scratch, because, I mean, frankly, because Wanya wasn't really that healthy. You know, I mean, right. he was banged up, and there was a chance you were going to put, but for them to say, look, we're going to bring up a guy from the practice squad in the event that we need. Now, maybe that was motivation to Wanya to say, hey, you can't come out of the game. You got to play the whole game. But which I wouldn't put that past him either. But I feel like it would be very odd if they got the evaluation of Kingsley that far off.
Well, I don't know. And the book's not closed on him. Like, he deserves the time to come back. they were off on him and probably Dan, they were off on Wandje Morris. He hasn't looked good either. And that wasn't a low draft pick, right? Like,
no.
So they haven't evaluated tackles well. They've had a bunch of failed experiments at tackle. They've been expensive. They just can't quite get it right, but it is what they have. I think it absolutely has contributed to Mahomes' pedestrian season. And again, they're 9-1, but I think we micromanage. I think that's the right thing to do as, you know, as fans, as we watch this. They went to Buffalo and it took a Josh Allen Superman play, you know, to keep Patrick Mahomes from having the opportunity to beat him. So I don't want to overstate anything. I do think it's like, what can they do to, if it's not the offensive line getting better, which seems unlikely, what can they do? The thing that stares me in the face is Isaiah Pacheco's back. It's run the ball 35 times a game.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't run it more in Buffalo. You know, there were a couple of opportunities where when they brought in the tackle eligible, they were making, you know, they were getting a good push on everybody and getting 5.5, 7.5 yards a clip. And I just thought, keep doing that. Nothing wrong with that. I could live with that all day. I also was impressed. There's always good things that come out of a game as well. And not that there's a moral victory here, but man, with every catch that DeAndre Hopkins makes, it reminds me of what a real receiver looks like, you know, and how, you know, his ability to make contested catches is going to pay off. But, you know, you're right. They seem to be very good at blocking the offensive line seems to be very good at blocking the run. So let's run it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I know you have to be balanced or teams will adjust, but the old saying, keep doing it till they stop it, right?
Right. And it's so predictable too, right? It's like a 4-yard carry and then two passes.
Yeah, right.
And I wonder, we talked about that yesterday and it made me wonder, you know, for years and years and years, it's that Andy Reid wouldn't run the ball and he wouldn't run the ball. But that has gone away a little bit recently. But it did make me wonder when we saw, I don't want to call it panic, but when Buffalo was sort of taking it, it made me wonder if, like, do you think there's anything to Coach Reid just sort of going back to, like, what's been there for him his entire career and just trying to force it in that way rather than, because the other part of that is the defense has not been at quite as good the last 2 or 3 weeks. They haven't been able to get the big stop late in the game like they did early in the year. I know they've had injuries. They have, you know, little to no pass rush right now. Is there something to that? Do you think it's like out of maybe a small sense of desperation, they're abandoning the run? I just can't figure out why else they're not. Because Kareem Hunt came up, Dan, his first few weeks, it was like 21, 27, 24, like all these, like that's what they were doing. And then these last couple of weeks, they've totally gone away from that.
I don't know if it's desperation, but I do think there's kind of a return to his roots and my guess would be just because that's where he's comfortable. You know, he's comfortable with the passing game and the architecture of the passing game. And I think if you were to ask Coach Reid, he would probably tell you that the run is simply to set up the pass, right? You know, there's no other reason to do that. And now I'm putting words in his mouth. But I do believe, you know, I don't think it's desperation because I think all coaches always think their plan is a good one and it's going to work. So, but I do believe that, you know, he just has probably an affinity and just a familiarity with the passing game that it's easier for him to make a magic trick in that style than it is in the run game, which is true. You know, the run game is just about physicality, right?
It is. In the middle of the line, that's what they can do. And with Pacheco and Hunt, I mean, it just makes like it's a way you can ease Pacheco back in, which is a good thing to be able to do. And you can just lean into those guys. But on second and six, can't we make it third and two?
Yeah,
instead of trying to get all six, and then maybe you run it all three times and just make somebody stop that interior line. Because the other thing is, too, we know, you know, you mentioned physicality, like mentality is everything. If Andy Reid's sitting in the game planning meeting and he goes to Tooney and he goes to Smith and he goes to Humphrey and he says, hey, guys, we're going to run the ball 35. This is on you. We're going to run the ball 35 times. Go eat, you know, go do what you love to do because we're not going away from it. I, you know, that those guys would react to that, I think.
No, and I think the pressure would be off of Wanya Morris and Juwan Taylor, you know.
Like, just stand there.
Yeah, they're like, don't hold. It's Christmas.
Don't hold. Like, whatever you do, your job on this play is don't hold.
Yeah, so I think you're right. You know, I don't know why. I can't explain why it is what it is, but I do also believe that, you know, Coach Reed's creativity is definitely at a high point with the passing game. And I think that he believes in that. You know, he believes that creativity is one of the things. Now, I'd argue, let's see Pacheco and Hunt out there at the same time.
I totally agree.
Show some creativity that way. I think that would be exciting. But, you know, I hate to second guess a guy with so much credibility as Coach Reed. I mean, this is one of the most winning coaches in the history of football. Yeah. But your talent, the stats are there. You know, I mean, I think one of the things you'd say is, well, if Hunt just got here and we weren't sure what we were going to have, but we know we got Pacheco, we know we got Hunt, and both of those guys can run the football. I thought it was interesting. They turned to Samaje Perine a couple of times there late in the game. I thought that was interesting. I don't want to say he's been a disappointment, but I thought he would be a much more physical back than he is.
He's kind of been a non-factor, right?
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. It's not even, and I don't even think it's a, I don't think it's a criticism either. I think it's just like, how do you, because if you could protect Mahomes, you'd throw the ball. Right. Like,
yes.
It's not, I don't think they're making the wrong decision or it's not Chris. I'm just trying to figure out what they can do about it because I don't like that's the concern now. It's too late to really do much with the roster. So what can you do within a game to correct this? And that's the only thing I can think of. And I'm with you, by the way, put them both back there and leave one of them back to block every single time and let the other one run around. Like, because it's you got to have a quick passing game. That part we know, right? Like, they have to be a quick passing game. They're going to be able to take maybe three or four shots deep down the field a game because can't protect Mahomes anyway. I'm with you. Run two backs back there and let one of them block.
Yeah, I thought Sunday in Buffalo we might actually see Tooney slide over and, you know, then bring in. You just never know what they're going to pull. But I was so floored by the Kingsley. I just. That's a big deal. To a healthy scratch is significant. Promoting a guy over you is, man, that's something else. And that tells me, Jacob, that they're probably getting to a point where they don't know what they can do. They're getting kind of desperate in their ways to motivate him. And you know, I don't know. He's a heck of a guy. You know, when you talk to him, he seems really intelligent. But the long and short of it is, you know, we saw, I think you put it best, he's unusable. And again, while that evaluation is significantly different than a first round draft pick, I think they're trying to figure out, you know, what can we do to motivate this guy?
So the Panthers are this week.
Yeah.
They're not quite the worst run defense in football. They're about, you know, 50 yards ahead of better than the Commanders. But for all intents and purposes, you don't get any worse defending the run than the Panthers. This feels like a get right game for the interior offensive line. Feels like a get right game for the running backs. Feels like a get right game for the defense going up against Bryce Young. It all feels get right for the Chiefs this weekend.
It does indeed. Yeah. I know any given Sunday and all, but the Panthers are definitely not in the class of the Chiefs, in my opinion. And there's just so many, you know, if ever there was a game where just run the football, you know, and I think we'll see, you know, this weekend exactly where coach's head is at with that.
Yeah.
Because it's glaring, right? I mean, if your plan is anything other than that, you know, why, especially when they're just so ponderously bad at the Panthers are just so ponderously bad at stopping the run. So, you know, we'll see what coach comes up with. I'm always amazed. I used to go into coach's office and the amount of plays that they put into every game, it's crazy, Jacob. I mean, they might add 20 new plays in a game just for that just for that week, you know? And so it is hard on players to constantly be studying and, you know, to keep up with that. But this ought to be a week where you could say, you know, maybe we'll just add 5 or 10 plays. You know, we got what we need. Student body left, student body right, right?
Mahomes could throw the ball 15 times or less, and I'd be perfectly happy.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't play the Chiefs receivers on your fantasy team this week. Right. We'll put it that way.
That's right.
And the other thing about it is, I think that it can build confidence, even though we all know it's the Panthers and it's an outlier with how bad they've been against the run. It does. It's almost like, God, these are stupid things to say in the NFL, to your point, on any given Sunday, but it's almost like a scrimmage game. It's almost like a tester game, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to try that game plan out, this is the perfect opportunity to do it. If you want to go into a game and say, we would like to run the ball at least 35 times, this is literally the best game to do that you can.
Yeah.
We know what they need to do, so just do it. And trust that your defense will allow you to, despite what's happening on the field. I don't think coaching staffs go into games ever that way, but boy, on paper, it sure feels like it could be that way. And it could help, because then next week, now you know, yeah, we can do that. Let's do it again.
Well, I think, you know, you saw Sunday in Buffalo, you know, the first 15 plays that they always script, and they weren't working. And the Chiefs made some dramatic adjustments to kind of get the game going. And you can always do that with this, you know, go into it with the mindset that, oh, we're going to test the run. We're just going to test running the football all day long. And if it doesn't work, then you bust out of it and, you know, you make a change. But I feel like, you know, one thing you got to keep in mind here is that the Panthers players have nothing to play for. You know, the motivation for a guy, he's constantly making a business decision, whether, you know, I go out and block a Chief or risk a season in or a year long, you know, rehab. No, I don't think so. I just let him go by. And so now I realize that, you know, that may get your quarterback in a year long rehab as well. But I just think that's the way that the league works. When you've got nothing to play for, it changes your mindset. It's kind of like after we got the first ring, you have a ring now. You know, right. Now the Chiefs have been really good about going back again, but it's different. It just is different. You know, once you've the ways these guys motivate themselves and each other are, important. And I don't know what you find other than the fact that you're a professional. I don't know what you find as motivation if you're a Carolina Panther, really. Maybe if you're at the end of your contract, maybe that's something. But I would hope to think that the Chiefs, this is finally one the Chiefs don't make a close game.
Well, and look, the Chiefs are better at finding motivation than anything. It's part of their greatness, I think.
Yeah.
What do you make of the defense, Dan, before we let you go? It's not as good. I think, you know, the Watson injury has hurt them a great deal. They're not getting the pass rush that they need. How concerning is that side of the ball right now? Because it's going under the radar because of the obvious issues on the O-line.
You saw the difference between Trent McDuffie and Nazi Johnson. They had a couple of plays where they were the same play, and the only difference was that the Chiefs had not had Trent McDuffie on the receiver rather than Nazi Johnson, and there was a big difference there. You know, I feel like you're right. The Watson, that's a big loss, and so now as these guys get healthier and return and all of that, I mean, from a defense standpoint, I think getting Mike Dana back has been good. But, you know, and I will say historically, just the way Josh Allen plays, it's hard. The Chiefs have never been good at sacking him, you know?
Right.
That should change this week. They should be able to eat a little more. And the defensive line, I think the key to one of the defense is the defensive line. If the defensive line doesn't play well, I feel like the secondary is under so much pressure. I think our linebackers play well almost all the time. You know, whether they're in coverage or they're stopping the run, I feel like they're not the issue. But definitely, I think the secondary is suspect right now.
Is Minnehue? I know we expect Pacheco back. Is Minnehue still on the table for this weekend?
Yes, Yes. And that would be big as well. You know, I mean, anytime you can get more pass rushing, and I haven't really felt like Uche has been an effective player for us yet. Maybe he will, but getting him in a who back, I think would be a plus.
That and completing a couple of those deep balls to Xavier Worthy would certainly be handy as well.
Yeah. You know that. Yeah. Worthy's got to figure out a way to know where he's at on the field. You can see the potential there. So much, you know, yeah. You see that it's literally, you know, 3 inches from being successful, but that's the kind of rookie stuff they got to work out of him with his technique.
And it wasn't a perfect throw by Mahomes, but the problem is Mahomes isn't going to be able to make perfect throws this year, especially on deep balls, because he's not going to have a clean pocket.
Yeah.
That would be another thing that would really help the team.
And you saw what DeAndre Hopkins did with those sideline catches, you know, where he one-handed the catch. And,
right. Yeah.
And, you know, now I think that one ended up not being a catch. But, I mean, you can just tell there's a lot more comfort out there with a guy that's been catching for 11, 12 years, whatever he's been.
Probably Hall of Famer. But
yes. I mean, yeah.
Okay. Well, Dan, it's another noon kick. We get another one.
I know. What is that about?
And then the schedule turns to absolute madness and they're streaming games.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Games and on weird days, and then we go into that stretch. So enjoy it, even though it's a road game, which, road noon kickoffs, I guess, are a little concerning at some point, but we know you guys will have us covered. And again, we'll watch 35 runs and we'll all move on with our lives.
I like it. It's a good plan.
There goes Dan Israel. Thank you, Dan.
You bet.
We'll talk again next week with Dan. Lot to digest there. We'll bring Tommy back in. We'll take a quick break. We'll get into some of that, what Dan had to say. And we'll look ahead to this this Wildcat basketball game tonight, which is far more interesting for weird reasons than I expected before we started to dig in here. A wild line in that game tonight. So that's how we'll finish up the show today. Your calls, the IHOP hotline is back open. Join us here on Sports Daily if you'd like. You can also, of course, leave us your video comments on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. We'll come right back. More Sports Daily right after this. Again, everybody, it is Sports Daily. If you missed anything with Dan Israel, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. The show's always podcasted there. A great way to tune in if you're not in your car from 9 to 11. Shout out to those listening to us on the podcast right now. I know a lot of people do. We're glad to be able to bring that to you. And thank you for tuning in, however it is that you tune in, whether you watch, you listen live, you listen later, whatever it is, we appreciate it. Tommy, any of the conversation there with Dan Israel, pretty succinct, right? The offensive line's a problem. They need to run the ball. They get a great opportunity this weekend against one of, if not the worst, run defenses in football. They get Isaiah Pacheco back. Don't start the Chiefs receivers on your fantasy teams this week, I would say, because they need to run the ball a ton in this game and get right both offensively and defensively.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's really getting back to the basics. You've got that opportunity with taking on a Panthers team that is not very good. And I know that they're going through a rebuild and all of that, and they have played a little bit better in the last couple of weeks, but still, you've got that opportunity if you're the Chiefs to get right, to reset a little bit, and get back on track, and I think that's what they'll do.
All right, let's talk college basketball then, Tommy. I looked at this and was laughing. I didn't realize how bad Mississippi Valley State is. They play K-State. KU also plays tonight against UNC Wilmington, who's not a joke. Like, they're much better, even though KU's a big favorite. We'll get to them in a minute. So Mississippi Valley State, Tommy. We said Monmouth was one of the worst teams in the country. Mississippi Valley State is the worst team in the country. KenPom has them literally ranked last. The line is 40 points. K-State is a 40-point favorite.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there is no chance I'm taking K-State on a 40-point line. But listen to this. Iowa State beat them by 39. Mizzou beat them by like 82, I think, if my math is correct. No. 72. Sorry. Texas beat them by 46. So that's where that comes in. But Mississippi Valley State has a win, Tom.
They do.
They've got a win on the season.
They do. They looks like they beat Mississippi. Wait, who they beat? The Mississippi University, University for women. That's got to be a typo. Listen.
No, that's correct.
That's right.
And you know, it's very asterisk for everybody listening. Nobody get their feelings hurt, please, at the conversation we're going to have and make jokes at and light of, please. Nobody's got time for overreactions politically. But this feeds this talking point right now in the election. A, Mississippi University for Women. I'm looking for a box score on this game. I can't find one.
I'm assuming
they field a men's basketball team.
They do. They have a men's basketball team at the Mississippi University for Women. I'm looking at their roster right now.
So Mississippi Valley State won that game, and I don't know anything about that program.
They were led by Trent Walker in that game. That he scored 12 points in 24 minutes. He's a 6'4" guard for Mississippi University for Women.
Most of the schools that used to be school, you know, back when they did that sort of thing, have like changed the name of the school, right? Like,
Jad's got a point.
Well, they have changed the name of the school, and I gotta say, Mississippi University for Women is a lot better. That was a good name change, because it was previously the Industrial Institute and College for the Education of White Girls.
Oh. Okay, so the Mississippi University
they
for Women.
They would have been terrible at
basketball.
That's
their new name.
Right?
That's not anything that they needed. Like that's what they moved to.
Yeah.
Okay.
My goodness gracious. Why the... Huh.
They're the Owls. The Owls of Mississippi University for Women. Their men's basketball team.
I'm having a hard time with this. I'm going to... Anywho... That is their one more time on that old name, Jad. What was the old name?
The Industrial Institute and College for the Education of White Girls.
Okay.
By the way, they've admitted men to the university since 1982. And apparently, as of 2022, this is according to Wikipedia, men make up 23% of the student body.
Okay. Well, listen, I applaud them for keeping the name Mississippi University for Women, only for the sense that it's comedy. I always appreciate good comedy. And at the time where these things are in, it just cracks me up.
How about this? Okay. So this is really fascinating. I feel like
it is.
So they've admitted men since 1982, but men's sports were not introduced until the 2017-2018 school year. That was the first time that there have been men's sport programs: baseball, cross country, soccer, basketball, golf, and tennis. They are an NCAA Division III school.
So Mississippi Valley State got them by 15.
Correct.
Otherwise, they've been terrible. back to the original point, 40-point line. We can't not do something with that. Like, we can't just ignore that line, can we? Like, so then you get into, can K-State cover a 40-point spread? Like, we have to take some piece of that. Like, we have to. You can't just let that sit there.
Is Kansas State better than Missouri in basketball? I think the answer is a resounding yes.
I think they will be.
I think the answer is, I mean, Missouri is, they're not good at all. And Missouri beat Mississippi Valley State by 70 points, 72 points. So, yeah, I mean, I think a 40-point spread is probably in play.
I got to say, we got to take the line. We got to take 40. We got to.
I would.
And it's, you know, it's going to be floating around like 38 to 42 points, and it'll be a nail biter at the end. So, if for no other reason to like really lock into that game, just take the 40 points. It'll be fascinating. Fascinating tonight. All right. KU, Tommy, plays UNC Wilmington. Much, much, much better team so far this year. They're actually 160 in the KenPom. They are no slouch here. They're 3-0. 23-point line. That is a line I would not touch, by the way. What do we want to see? It feels like a really long time since we've seen KU play. They did play this weekend, but it sort of got lost in the translation of a football weekend as it was against Oakland. It feels like a long time since they played a meaningful game. I think this could be. What do you want to see tonight in the UNC Wilmington game with Duke looming, but not for another week?
Yeah, I'd like to see Flory Badunga, have some really positive minutes. That's something that I'm really looking for, because in the last couple of matchups, and that's excluding the Oakland game, but when they played the high-level opponents in Michigan State, and then before that, I think you need to see him be a lot more effective, out on the court. The North Carolina game also, have him be on the court and not commit fouls. That's going to be a major point for me, because you need to have somebody behind Hunter Dickinson that can be effective coming in relief of Dickinson. So, again, the competition level continues to increase for Kansas heading into the holidays. And so knowing that, I'd like to see Badunga get some really quality minutes tonight.
I would. That's a good one. I like that. We know about Hunter Dickinson. There's not really much we need to see. And you could put him on ice even a little bit. Yeah. Maybe that would be nice.
So here's one thing about Badunga that speaks to that point. He's playing about 13 minutes a game, and he's averaging over 2 fouls per game in that 13 minutes. That's far too much. So, he's fouling too much. He's not able to stay on the court. So I would like to see that improve for him.
But I don't think this is a game where they're going to just be able to put it on cruise control like in the first half. I think I would be pleasantly, but I would be a little surprised by that. Zeke Mayo continues to be the other big offensive piece. I'd really like to see AJ Storr and Rylan Griffin take over offensively in a game. One, if not both of those guys, would be very nice to see them elevate and just sort of set the tone, because I want to see that they can do that if they need it. Right. If KU at any point needs one of those guys to have that kind of game, which they come in with that kind of pedigree, I'd like to see him be able to do that tonight. Might be an opportunity for that as well. Sort of along your same lines of easing up on Dickinson a bit.
Well, and also this was notable from the game against Oakland. I didn't realize this. Shaquille Moore played for the first time this season. He only played 5 minutes. I know they're trying to work him back from his foot surgery, and it sounds like they put a 5-minute limit on him, but trying to work him back in. And that's important, because I think the Jayhawks have really been searching for who is going to be their main lockdown defender on this team. And Shaquille Moore, I think, has shown in his career that he is a really good, if not great, defender. And so the more that he's able to be out on the court and help them in that regard, that's going to be, I think, essential for Kansas. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him maybe get a few more minutes tonight as they continue to work him back to 100%.
So UNC Wilmington's averaging, Tommy, 108 points a game so far this year. Let that sink in for a second. Isn't that crazy? They're averaging. Now, that was inflated by a 143-91 win over another team I've never heard of. So the Mount Olive Yeah, just the Mount Olive Trojans. They put up 143, so inflates it. But in their other two games, it was 92 and 89 points. It would be nice to see a team like that that you know can score. It's capable. It's in their DNA. For KU to absolutely shut them down. The over-under's at 158. Wouldn't touch it. But that would also be maybe this will be a good test for the KU defense. Maybe not. Maybe they're not really that good. But, you know, 160 in KenPom's not terrible.
Which game are you more excited to watch? The KU game against a high-level opponent?
Or
this K-State game where they're playing the worst team in Division I basketball.
Because now the 40-point spread is in play. So the answer is K-State for me because I can't get enough of that 40-point spread. Like, I'm so intrigued by a 40-point spread, I can't stand
Depending on how this game turns out for Kansas State tonight, might tell us a little bit more about the Mississippi University for Women.
That's true. I got to know what their chances in Division III are this year. I did not intend to spend very much time on that today, but I had no idea was in the cards.
I hesitated as I was reading it because I'm like, wait, that's a typo. I'm looking at the wrong page. Mississippi Valley State played the Mississippi University for Women men's team. Can we get just one more time before we go to break? Jad, can you tell us the former name of that university one more time?
Sure, I can. Actually, I have to pull it right back up again, but I had it. There it is. Nope, I don't have it anymore. Okay. I don't have it pulled up.
We'll bring it back up after the break.
Yeah, we'll get you there. This is incredible.
Okay,
here it is.
It's the Industrial Institute and College for the Education of White Girls.
Let's let that sink in, everybody. Did not know that school existed. But it did. There in the great state of Mississippi. We'll come back. More Sports Daily. Last full segment right after this. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. We didn't have a chance to talk about this story yesterday, Tommy, but I do think it's of note. The Tyson fight. How big of a problem is this for Netflix, do you think, to not be able to handle that? It was a disaster. They got NFL games coming up. That cannot happen. If you're Roger Goodell today, yesterday, Sunday, like, you got to be on the horn like, yo, this cannot happen when we bring the NFL to Netflix. How does it even happen with the streaming company, like the OGs? How do they even let this happen in the first place?
Well, they've never done anything like this, and they've not been set up for it before. I think that there's a really good reason as to why they led off their live sports coverage with this particular fight because, it was a big deal. I mean, people wanted to know if Mike Tyson still had it. They wanted to see Jake Paul, all of that. But it was a good little, test, like beta test.
And a good test, though. Shouldn't you beta test like a Tuesday night Maction game?
That nobody's going to watch? The biggest issue was the servers crashing and the number of people that were going to watch it. Like, if you're doing a Tuesday night Mac game, nobody's tuning in for that.
They won't know
until they go and do like a large scale event about whether or not their servers can actually handle it.
Like a Stranger Things premiere would have to have a lot of traffic.
Not in a live sports coverage type thing.
Have a number on how many people were trying to? Like, it's such a fail, and it was disastrous if that happens with the NFL.
It'll be okay.
The NFL. I would imagine they can get it corrected, but
that's why they did this before they started to air NFL games.
Tommy, this didn't happen to Amazon Prime. Didn't happen to Peacock.
Well, Peacock is different because you've got this full support of NBC behind you.
Netflix is the biggest streamer in the world.
Netflix had never done live sporting event coverage before.
But had Peacock?
But Peacock is owned by NBC. Absolutely, NBC had done live sports coverage before.
But not in a streaming environment, they hadn't.
Yeah, but they were prepared for that sort of thing.
What about Prime Video?
I don't know. Do you remember the very first Thursday night football game on Prime, it wasn't great. It's gotten a lot better since then. It wasn't great.
Buffer. Like, you could at least watch
it. Sure, it did. There were buffering issues. I remember it buffering as I was trying to watch. That.
Maybe so. I don't remember that at all, if it was the case.
I think they'll be fine. I think that they did this as a appetizer for the large-scale football games they're going to be airing, and you better believe that they'll have it remedied and fixed and ready to go. I've got no concern over the future sports streaming coverage that Netflix can provide.
I sure hope you're right, because it's going to suck. Not just like it won't be as funny, I don't think, as it was with this one, because that's one like we're actually – I mean, that's Chiefs Steelers. Are you kidding me? Like Tyson Paul kind of seemed fake anyway, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, is they really doing it? Like, that's
and again,
fun.
We got that's why Mike. They did this. That's why they started with this, because it's like as a throwaway, not a big deal.
But you know, like there was all the funny things, which was the highlight of that fight, by the way. What an epic move by Tyson.
I didn't even watch any of it, to be completely honest with you.
You saw the butt.
No,
thing,
I did. I mean, I followed it on social. I saw what was going viral, but I don't care. Didn't care. Still don't care. Never like one time did I think, you know what? I think I'm going to turn this on because I really want to watch this. I didn't care.
I didn't remember that it was happening until it was happening. But Mike Tyson in his prime was as must-see TV as we've ever had in sports.
Sure.
Like, and so that nostalgia was there.
But a 58-year-old Mike Tyson, I didn't really have much of an interest in watching.
Here's what I would have been interested in. Here's how I would have made that better. They put him in pillow gloves. Let that be a bare knuckles fight. Then I'm like, let's have that fight. And I bet you Mike Tyson had a pretty good chance to knock out the young man. You know, he was getting him early in that fight. Like, he was landing punches. But again, he's wearing pillow gloves. He's not going to do anything with pillow gloves on. Whatever. Better not screw up football for
They're
us.
They're not going to screw up football. It's going to be fine. Everybody better. Take a breath.
Let's mark this on the tape, Chad. If they screw up, I want to hear what Tommy has to say on Monday morning, December, whatever that is. You won't be here anyway. I don't think I'll be here either. Isn't that on Christmas Day? It's Christmas Day game?
Yeah.
We'll call it in and get after it. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network tonight. Don't go away. More Sports Daily Red.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.